chapter 13, please. This is not on.
Now it's on. Okay. All right, I need some men to help me pass out to some notes, please. There are no pictures. There are no nothing to color, nothing, no pictures, but these are just mainly verses that deal with what we're going to talk about this morning. You can do both sides, Ade. You're a good man. All right. Acts chapter 13, please. Acts chapter 13. Happy you're here this morning on this week before Easter. The next Sunday we'll deal with John chapter 20. If you want to read ahead, John chapter 20 will be next week. We'll deal specifically with the resurrection. We'll also have a lot of folks read the Bible in the language they grew up around. So please note that. That'll be next Sunday, John chapter 20. Acts chapter 13 is today. All right, Acts chapter 13. Let's begin reading, if you would, in verse 13. Acts 13 and verse 13. All right, let's stand, please. This morning's message is really answering a question about forgiveness. So, when I was reading, we were reading the Ten Commandments in Sunday morning Sunday school, I recognized that a third to a half of the people there weren't paying attention. So I will state this morning, my guess is you think forgiveness is easy. I don't think you've talked to very many people at tough times in their life. So I was at a wedding. I almost said a funeral. It was a wedding. They're similar. I was at a wedding that I performed. My wife was with me. And a man at the wedding asked me a question. By the way, he never followed up. And I tried and tried. He said, Pastor Warren, I need to talk to somebody. I said, okay, what would you like to talk about? He said something to this effect. Can God forgive me for what I did in Vietnam? Now, I'm assuming you understand that's the war in Vietnam. I never got to ask him what he did, and probably I didn't want to know. It could have been one of three things. Drugs, probably. Sex, probably. Torture, possibly. So I want to say something to you. This ain't no joke, what we're talking about this morning. So, play the Billy Baptist game of drifting around. This is serious business. Because I've learned something. When people are alone or near death, these are the kind of things that really come at them. Is there really forgiveness? And I will say this to you before we read. I believe our culture thinks forgiveness is easy, but we don't practice it. For all of you that are old enough, I'm going to mention a person's name, two words, and ask yourself, has she been forgiven? Not by God, but by people. Monica Lewinsky. She still can't get a real job because of what she did 30 years ago, nearly. So here we are. Oh, yeah, forgive God. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we better take a breather on that. So we're going to read two of the most important verses in the Bible on forgiveness. We're still in the images of salvation. This is my favorite text on the subject. But we'll begin with the beginning, verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Pamphus, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. That is a Roman province in modern Turkey. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. And this city of Antioch was on the border of Pamphylia and Pisidia. And it says, and by the way, not the same Antioch as in Syria, just the same name. Like going from Springfield, Illinois to Springfield, Missouri. Just different states, same city name. It says, and they went into the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, they sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, because like today, a Jewish synagogue is going to read the Old Testament, some of Moses and some of the prophets. It says, after the reading of the law and the prophets, the ruler of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Word of exhortation is, in that age, a Jewish way of saying, do you have like a sermon you would like to preach? Then Paul stood up and, beckoning with his hands, said, men of Israel, those are the Jewish people in this synagogue, and ye that fear God, those would be the Gentiles that were connected to the synagogue. The God-fearers, which was something unique to about 100 B.C. to around 100 A.D. And that would have been the biggest group, the people that attached themselves to the synagogue. He says to them, give audience. Now, we're going to skip the whole sermon because we only got time for one, not for two. Down to verse 38, here's his conclusion. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified, are declared righteous, or we could say cleared. Their record is cleared from all things from which you could not be justified, are cleared by the law of Moses. Those are my two favorite verses on forgiveness, because they state many things about forgiveness. We're going to pray. We're going to read the questions, of which one of them I didn't do a good job of writing. And, look at me, and you're going to answer the question. And I hope you can answer correctly. So let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time as we try to look at, it's nothing more important than, are we forgiven? Help us this morning. Help me to be able to share these ideas, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Under the verses, I say this. Paul's message answers some of the basic questions that we all have. The first question we'll deal with extensively is, what in the world is forgiveness? Or, what does it look like? That's my favorite part. The second question, and I was asked this question recently by someone, can or does God forgive any and all sins? Everybody look at me. Can God or does God forgive any and all sins? And the answer would be, look at me please, of course, no. We'll come to that. By the way, if you think God forgives all sins, what does that mean? Everybody goes to heaven, and Jesus' death on the cross was of no value whatsoever. No, he does not forgive all sins. But we'll nuance that. By the way, there's going to be space in your notes for your own reflections on that. How about this one? Can or does God forgive every person? And I messed that up. The for should be forgive. I was trying to put the word for every person, so it's forgive every person. Well, the obvious answer is no, God does not forgive every person. Otherwise, by the way, are you with me? There wouldn't be a hell. I'm sorry, this is not, you get a little card, you know, and it's a Visa card, wherever you want to go, you do what you want. By the way, he does not forgive every sin, and he does not forgive every person. The text never says that. Well, the fourth question is very important. Well, how in the world then do we find this forgiveness? Or where do we find it? We'll try to answer those four questions. During the heyday of COVID, 2020, 2021, some of you don't even remember COVID, you're that age. A pastor, good man, pastor, my age, but I think a couple years older, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years older, so he would have been my age now. A pastor had no real symptoms, no real problems. He was in good health. He came down with COVID in the heyday of COVID. By the way, before there was treatment, before there was ways of dealing with COVID, he came down with COVID. Now, this is a pastor of a church like ours, a good pastor, a good man, a good thinker. But see, I'm trying to get your attention. The question is, we make it a joke. Of course God's forgiven me. I'm wonderful. Well, here's a man that went into the hospital. Within one day was in ICU on a respirator. I believe he was in ICU for 3 to 4 weeks on a respirator. By the way, in those days, when you were on a respirator, most people died. They came in. The doctor 2 or 3 times told he and his family, he was awake enough, he couldn't talk, to hear. And the doctor told him and his family he was not going to make it. Do you know what was on his mind in his 60s? You say, he's a Christian. Yeah, that's the Billy Baptist thing. This ain't no big deal. He started thinking back of the things he's done wrong. I got a question for you. Is there anybody in here that wants all of your wrongdoing held against you? He started thinking back to the people he's hurt, to the things he's said, to the people he has harmed. And according to him, he said, I was begging God for mercy. I understand that. I understand with age, the things that bother you or the dumb things you have done. By the way, it doesn't even have to be sin. Sometimes it's just mistakes. You do realize I am both a sinner, as are you, and I'm also human, which means I'm not God, which means I make mistakes. Another friend I was talking to last week, it's kind of funny, we were talking about some theological issues, specifically total depravity, and I have a joke that I tell everybody. I say I not only believe in total depravity, I practice it, and we were laughing. And then he said something to me profound. He said, Ralph, I still repent of what I did in high school and when I first got into the military. Do you all understand what's going on? He's thinking about choices he's made and things he's done wrong. And he's thinking about, has God really forgiven me? Or what does that mean? Now, for all of you old timers, I only bought 2 albums, LPs, in my lifetime. I only bought 2. If you think this is a joke, there are many people that think forgiveness is not important. The 2 albums were, number 1, Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, that album, and number 2, The Who, Who's Next? You say, who? Yeah, it's The Who. Who? Not the Guess Who. Who? Now, nobody but one person knows what I'm talking about. Are you ready? Baba O'Reilly, in the first stanza of the first song, I heard it as a kid. He has a line, they have a line in there that's this: I don't need to be forgiven. I wonder how he feels now. He's in his 70s, nearly 80. Does he think that everything is no big deal and I'm just going to drift over to wherever I go and everything is fine? So the question of forgiveness comes into our world. Is there really forgiveness? I don't want to belabor anything. I'll just say this. For whatever reason, Monica Lewinsky's name, and by the way, if you're young, I'm sorry, you probably don't even know who that is. But Bill Clinton had an affair while he was in the White House with a young lady, 21, 22 years old, and this is nearly, good grief, this is in the 90s. I read her story, and the thing that struck me, friend, was this. She can't get a job because of her name. 30 years later, But hey, in America, peace, everybody is forgiven. And I don't know why we would blame her and not, yes, you can guess. Well, what does Paul say in the text? This answers our first question. What is forgiveness? What does it look like? Well, we begin with simply stating what Paul states. I say there are many ways of explaining and illustrating what forgiveness looks like. We'll talk about them. Acts 13:38 starts the conversation. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached or proclaimed unto you the forgiveness of sins. There is forgiveness. I'm not making light of it. I'm not saying everybody is forgiven. I'm simply saying there is such a thing as forgiveness. The Greek word here is aphesis. There is a verbal form called aphiemi. We'll talk about that in a moment. But one of the best texts on forgiveness, this is written to Christians, not to unsaved people, is 1 John 1:9. If you read it with me in your notes. This is talking to you and me if you're already a believer. If we confess our sins, not talking about a priest, if you confess your sins to God. Everybody look at me. Confession is a simple word. Homologeo simply means this. The first portion of the word we get homosexual from. It's the Greek word for same. The second part of the word is to speak. You know what it means to confess? As a Christian, I confess to God and I say the same thing about my sins to God as he says about my sins. By the way, we don't confess our sins to be a Christian, in the sense of we're already saved, and in a sense we're already forgiven, but on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year, we continue to confess sins not to establish the relationship. The relationship is sealed the day we get saved, but to establish good fellowship with the Lord, because we lose that sweet fellowship by sin. So the text says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and it says two things, meaning the same things. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. By the way, same Greek word is found in Acts 13. He forgives us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I got to tell a story, and my wife can't hear, so Jenny, you got to do this. She went out of town, and I went into sin. Actually, I think it was Thursday, so you were still here. I went into sin. I shouldn't have, because it was either Thursday or Friday. I didn't have someone to go out to eat with. So I went, bought some food, and I went to a place that I like. I'm a very simple person. I went and had some guisado, which is like a stew, at a certain restaurant called Los Naranjos. It was beef, onions, and all kinds of spices. And I had some frijoles, and I had elote, which is corn on the cob, Mexican style. I came home, I was so happy. I was going to eat all by myself, and I was just going to be a sloppy fool. The corn worked, the beans worked, but the guisado had a lot of juice, and it came in a foam thing. I can't tell you where I was and what I was doing, but I was sinning, and I was in the wrong place to eat stuff that had a lot of juice, and all I can tell you is, as I moved, that guisado moved on me. By the way, stuff really tastes good. It was perfectly spiced on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being what Ade eats, meaning normal humans don't eat that much spice, and 0 being what some of you like. I like it hot. It was about an 8, so my wife couldn't have eaten it. Oh, it was good. Can I tell you, when it shifted forward into my face, on my neck, on my shirt, you know it was better on the inside than the outside? And what was my first thought? By the way, you got it all over you. I was afraid it was going to get over everything. Oh, I made a mess. Can I tell you the nicest thing on earth? When you step in the shower, look at me, and wash all that stuff away. Do you know what the first, one of the most beautiful images, I have it in your notes, is simply God cleanses us. You say, Pastor, have you sinned? Yes. Have you sinned recently? Probably. But I've certainly sinned before salvation, after salvation, but there is nothing better than the initial God washing us from our sins, and on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, you know, cyclical way, coming back, confessing sins, not to get saved. I already have the relationship with God, but for fellowship. I want to say this. You know how good that stuff tastes? Maybe you don't. Do you know how bad it smells once it sets up in your clothes? You say, I had fun sinning. Yeah, but you smell bad. You say, what does God do? He cleanses us when we come and say the same things about our sin as he says about, we don't say, well, I made a mistake. Or it was Rolando's fault because Rolando induced me, enticed me to eat this kind of food. I can't even blame it on him. I have to confess. And by the way, I'm being funny, but it's not funny. God cleanses us. Cleanses us. What else does he do? In your notes. Two Greek words in the New Testament. I'm just giving you a taste. One of the main ones is found in Acts 13. Ephesus. The verb ephiemi. But that word means to send something away. To send it away. In Matthew 13:36, the same word is used. Then Jesus sent away, or sent the multitude away. Because the word means to forgive, but it also means how that happens, and God sends it away. Hey, look at me, friend. Do you remember the Day of Atonement? Two animals were killed. One was the slain goat, which they killed, and one was the scapegoat, which they what? They took their sins symbolically, prayed over the goat, and what did they do? Sent the goat away. That's what God does. God sends our sins away. Acts 13, Paul says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the sending away of your sins, forgiving them. They're sent away. You have that, of course, in Mark 4:36. Again, the same Greek word, when they had sent away. Job even talks about this by form of a question. Why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? Another word in the New Testament, use slightly less, means forgiveness, but it gives you an image. This is the word harizomai, which means to forgive freely. Look at me, friend. This means when you come to Christ for salvation, God doesn't forgive us saying this, okay, I'm going to forgive you if you never sin again. Or I'll forgive you if you pay me something. Or I'll forgive you if you do something. No, this is the kind of forgiveness where God freely forgives us. He forgives us because of his Son. You have it in the text. Ephesians 4:32, talking to believers. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving. It's a form of harizomai. One another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven, again, harizomai you. It's something God does freely. It's found in Romans 8:32, not talking about forgiveness, talking about what God will give for us. It says he will freely give us all things. Well, there's another image the Bible uses, Psalm 85. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast done what? Look at me, friend. I don't know how it happened. When I started here, Pastor Kwok wasn't yet the associate pastor. And when he first started, he was perfect. But through the years, unfortunately, I have rubbed off on him. For bad. You say, how so? I went into his office. There are things in his office that are there from the early 1800s. You say, and they're covered up. God uses an image, friend, look at me, as if God covered up the sins so nobody can see them, listen, including himself. God covers. So what does he do? He sends them away. He freely forgives. He cleanses us. He covers them up in a way where no one can see them, and most importantly, he can't see them. But understand, that's an image. Don't get goofy. It's just an image. Well, how about this one? I like this one. Isaiah 43. I, God says, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not, what's that say? Look at me, friend. When did this happen? I thought about calling Jim, but it was too late at night. Sometime in the last 5 or 10 years, a redacted document was given to the whole nation. The problem was, there's different forms of redaction. You know what redaction is? When they have a document and then they black out certain portions? Lots of redacted documents, where otherwise they could tell you what Ralph Warren did, but they don't want to tell you who it's connected to. So they would redact certain people's names, certain places. But the funny thing about the document, and they gave like pages of it, every single line was redacted. It gave no information, which I remember caused a real fury, because people were like, so you gave us the document, but there's no information? You have redacted everything? Do you know what God does with our sin? Hey. He redacts all of it. Every single sin. He redacts it. He blots it out. He not only covers it up, but he blots it out in a way where no one, including himself, can see. Well, the greatest verse in the Bible. It is a mistake in your notes, one very small one, very small. My friend, there is not a greater passage in all of the scripture than Micah. I say to cast into the depths of the sea, and then I think I add plus, 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 and plus. Those are all correct. Read with me. Micah chapter 7 says this, who is a God like unto thee? Please look at me. Micah. You ever heard the name Micah? The name, the last part of the name, is the shortened form of Yahweh. Micah means who is like the Lord. This is a play on his name. Who is like God? He's kind of playing with his name. And then he lists the things that God does for us. He does 8 things in this text for us. He, first of all, pardons our iniquity. Secondly, he passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Thirdly, he retaineth not his anger forever. Meaning, God forgives, he doesn't hold on, he is not going to judge us. Continue. Why? Because this is another thing he does. He delights in mercy. This is the one that's not underlined. He will turn again. So friends, if you have sinned against God, and everybody has, if you're not saved, the moment you come to Christ, the God that had turned from you, the moment you come to Christ, call upon Christ and get saved, he now turns back to you. If in life, which all of us do, we find ourselves doing stupid things, thinking stupid things, all the things that we do, in one sense, we lose fellowship. In one sense, God doesn't have to turn back to us. God is pointed the same way. We have pointed another way. But in a sense, he turns us back to him, and we have a relationship again. But really, Micah gets a little carried away here. Verse 19 again. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Wow. Those are 8 things that God does for us. Images. My favorite is taking something and casting it into the Mariana. Is it Mariana Trench in the Pacific? The lowest place on earth. And it goes to the very bottom, and you say, well, we have technology, yeah, but no human. That's the reason the Uzit could ever even dream of going down and finding it. It's as if God hid our sins in the depths of the sea. Yes, God forgives. Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. It's like he took them to opposite places. So friend, if you chased your sins as far as you could, you're still as far as the east is from the west. It never changes. You're always separated from your sins. One more image. Everybody look at me, please. Is this an age thing? Jamie, can you reach back and touch the middle of your back? Yeah, that's my point. What's the worst place in your body? So, it's like, what if you're itching right in the middle of your back? You got two choices. Either if you have a spouse, your spouse has to itch you. Is that weird to ask your spouse? Or you got to do this. Forgive me, I grew up on a farm. Like an old bull. Itching their back. You say, why? Because it's hard to... Now, there are people that are extremely flexible. Contortionists. They can do weird things. I can't do weird things. All I know is there's a place in the middle of your back. Either your wife has to scratch it or you have to rub like a cow on a tree. Okay? And I look more like the cow, so I generally rub on the tree. You got to do something. Look what it says. I love this. I love this. It says, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins, as it were. God doesn't have a body. But think about this. Look at me, friend. No one in this room has ever done this, have you? Taken a sticky note and stuck it on somebody right in the middle of their back? None of you, no, you wouldn't do that. You put a piece of paper on somebody's back, and by the way, I've had a guy I work with one time, somebody did it, he was funny, and they walked around all night. And see, what's the problem? You never see your back. And he couldn't get to it, and it was, I don't remember what it said, but I'm sure it was a Christian saying. I'm sure it was like, we love you, you're the best. All I know is, friend, God takes our sins, so to speak, and puts them behind his back so you can never find them again. Well, we move to question two. I'm just going to preach, and you write. If you want to write something, or if you don't, that's fine. Well, what about that second question? Can God forgive all sins? Look what it says. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified. Look what it says. We're justified, declared righteous, are cleared. Look what it says. From all things. Wait a minute. Does God really forgive everything? So friend, you're talking to that guy that fought in Vietnam. And by the way, he's not joking. Now, he has a problem. He's unsaved. Number two, by the way, do you know what people do when they have these kind of problems? Drink. Does everybody understand drinking? By the way, drinking, actually, the first three or four beers makes your conscience worse because it loosens you up. And for the first three or four beers, you are worse than you were before you started drinking because you're haunted by the past. After you get drunk, unconscious, then you don't know whether you have done anything wrong. But boy, when he drank two or three beers, this stuff just came up. So the question is, does God really forgive everything? And anybody with a conscience, I wouldn't ask in this room, because I'm an adult man. There are men in this room that have done things in the military that you wouldn't want your spouse or anybody on earth to know. Please do this. You say, how do you know that? Have you ever been around bases? Now, down here in Waukegan, or excuse me, North Chicago, they cleared up the mess. But when I was here, what was on the strip? You say, but none of the sailors did that. By the way, friend, I think we're playing games because we have hidden things. People play games with this. So we try to deal with this question in different ways. You might want to write this down. You have a whole group of Roman Catholicism that they have divided sins into two kinds. There's venial sins and then there's mortal sins. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just being factual. You know, venial sins are the small ones. God can forgive those. But the mortal sins, they're death. And there's all kinds of implications in writing. It's not a biblical concept. Now, by the way, I think on a popular level it's this. Please look at me. I commit small sins. You commit big sins. So I'm okay. You're in a mess. I have a question for you. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, was it a big sin? No. They ate a piece of fruit. Did they not? By the way, the problem is God doesn't weigh sin like that. Sin between God and you, this is the problem, friend. Sin is sin. And in God's sight, any sin is wrong. And James chapter 2 talks about all this connects to everything else. But we like to have, by the way, it's not even a Catholic thing. How about lying? There's lies. That's what other people tell. And I just tell white lies. The little ones. I'm not getting some reaction from some of you. I think some of your consciences aren't real good this morning. Now, there's another trick that people played. I don't know how long it went on. It's a mess, too. They don't do two kinds of sins. By the way, I actually think there are two kinds of sins. I think they're the kind that God forgives, and then there's one that God doesn't forgive. We'll get to that later. There's another way of dealing with this, is this. In the Middle Ages, areas of Europe were not Christian. They were all pagan. And some kinds of Christianity started percolating into all of Germany, England, Scandinavia, etc. Went over into Russia, all kinds of Christianity. And somehow, in those circles, to have your sins forgiven, you had to be baptized. But their people were smart. If my sins are forgiven when I'm baptized, what happens after I get baptized? What if I sin? So you had kings and important people that knew they were going to do wrong. By the way, they planned to do wrong. They had mistresses. They had everything else. So this is what they did. They said, I'm a Christian, but I'm not getting baptized until the very brutal end. So what they did was they put off baptism, which has nothing to do with salvation, they put it off to the end so that way when they're on their deathbed, some priest or something can come in and drop some water on their head and they didn't have to worry about sin after baptism. Do you understand the game that's being played? Yes or no? By the way, this is what people do. In our circle, of course, well, some people also wrestle with secret sins. Shameful acts, hidden acts, which we all have to some degree. And I would tell you this. I was asked this question by a young man in my Bible class, and he wasn't joking. So I'm going to ask you, will God forgive someone that rapes a child? Will God forgive someone who is a mass murderer? Will God forgive someone who commits incest? Can they be forgiven? Well, according to Paul, there is forgiveness for all sins, and I'm going to say almost, because the text says more than this. Almost. I actually do not believe, listen, there are certain sins that if you have to sin, I would prefer you to sin. I would prefer you to be covetous than be a murderer. But the problem is, covetous tends to attach to murder. I would prefer you to smoke a cigarette than to get drunk and get in a car wreck, though I'd prefer you to do neither one. You see, I can understand, yeah, these are sins, but not bad ones. But the problem is, in God's sight, I think there's two kinds of sins: those he forgives and those that cannot be forgiven, the unpardonable ones. We'll come to that in a minute. Number three, how about does God forgive everyone? Paul says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that," say it with me, please, all that, say it again, all that. So does God forgive everybody? No, of course not. He forgives all those who. Do you know the story, Corrie Ten Boom? You should read it online. You can get it online. You can get the whole, it's about this long. It's about a page, page and a half. It's the best story. I'm going to summarize her story. Corrie Ten Boom grew up in the Netherlands. Her family were believers. Her family were hiding Jewish people in a place in their house. And guess how they found, how the Nazis found out? Neighbors. People turned them in for money and reward. Well, her and her sister, I don't remember the family, but I know her and her sister went to a camp. And by the way, these camps weren't Sunday school. People weren't holding your hands. The women were raped and brutalized and every degrading thing you can possibly imagine. Well, if you know the story, Corrie Ten Boom's sister was killed. By the grace of God, she survived. Later on, for many years, she went around because she was a true believer, and her family had done the right things trying to protect Jewish people and were sold out by other people from the Netherlands. She would go around and talk about forgiveness. Do you not know the story? She's speaking to a group like this one night, sharing her testimony about how God has forgiven her and how God has allowed her to forgive others. And in the back, it's not any of you, but I'm going to mention somebody's name. It's not you. It's that Clayton guy. And I'm not joking. It's not him. She looked back and she saw the man that brutalized her and her sister in this Christian meeting. She looks back there and there is the guy that was part of her sister dying. And she's talking about, well, if you know the story, the end of the thing, he comes forward, and he said something like this: "Isn't it good to know that God forgives us?" And according to her, she had her purse, and she was fooling around in her purse because she, by the way, it's one thing to talk about forgiveness. Hello? It's another thing when you're looking at the guy, and it's not Mr. Clayton. So okay, he was in the back. It's another thing when the guy comes forward and you find out he's now a believer. She's grown up, so he wouldn't remember her because then she would have been degraded, no hair and all that. She says she fiddled in her purse because she didn't want to do this. What you going to do? Can I say this? We take forgiveness far too lightly. It's a big deal. And it's a real big deal to people who have lost family members. Yes? It's going all over the world. You say, what did she finally do? She never told him publicly who he was. She knew who he was. But she shook his hand. All I can tell you is I learned more about forgiveness from that story than anything I've ever read. Because that's serious matters. That's your family that have been brutalized by a man. And that man has now been forgiven. By the way, there's only one sin God doesn't forgive, and there's only one person God will not forgive and cannot forgive. We come to that at the end of the sermon here, please. The text teaches these four ideas. There is forgiveness. And from many other texts, we learn what that looks like. Secondly, Forgiveness for all sins. Well, except one. Forgiveness for all who what? Say it with me. All who what? Thank you. Lastly, and this is the reason there are sins that will never be forgiven, and this is the reason there are people that will never be forgiven. The theme of this whole sermon and of this text is this. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You are not forgiven because you're nice, or because you haven't sinned like other people have sinned, or because you're a better person, or because you think you're okay, or I haven't committed any bad sins, just venial sins. Now, Ade, he's committed mortal sins. He's got problems, but I'm good. No, 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 no. We all come to the same place. Father, what does forgiveness look like? Many images to cleanse us, to send our sins away, to do so freely, to redact our sins, to cover our sins, to put them into the depths of the sea, to put them behind our back. God does all of that. But he doesn't do it apart from Jesus Christ. So friend, does God and can he forgive everyone? No, he never forgives the person who doesn't come to Christ, because Christ came to die for the person. You don't come to Christ, you don't trust Christ, you don't call upon Christ, there is no forgiveness. What sin doesn't God forgive? Well, actually, for the person that's unforgiven, it's all of his sins he doesn't forgive. But he doesn't forgive our sins unless you come to Christ. There is an unpardonable place. When you don't close with Christ, you have no hope. That's what he says. Look at it again, please. That through this man is preached unto you. And by the way, the this in Greek is emphasized. This man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, not anything else, not through a Baptist church, not through getting baptized, not by being a good person, it's by him. All that what? Believe. You see, it's through this man, and you have to come to Christ and be saved. And as you walk forward as a Christian, you continually to restore your fellowship, not the relationship, but the fellowship. You continue to confess. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission, that's the old Latin-based word. Remission means forgiveness. Acts 5:31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. But it's all through Christ, this man. 10:43, to him give all the prophets, probably speaking of Old Testament prophets, witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive, again, the King James says remission. By the way, everyone look at me. Forgiveness is actually Anglo-Saxon. It's Germanic. We use forgive today. Remission is Latin-based. Both words mean exactly the same thing. God forgives us. How so? He does so only through Christ. So I stop. Look at me, please. I had a man in another country, my wife was there, that asked me, can God forgive me of what I did in Vietnam? Here's my answer. Look at me. God has not forgiven that man. Because God never forgives you unless you come through his son and what his son did on the cross for forgiveness. Otherwise, there's an unpardonable sin, the unwillingness to trust Christ and repent and turn to Christ and call upon Christ. He will not forgive that sin, which means all of your sins are unforgiven. But by the way, if you come to Christ this morning, yes, he forgives you of all of your sins forever. You have a clean slate. I will just say this. If there's a document that records all of your sins, and by the way, some of us in this room have a very short document, and people like me have a long document. The most important thing is every line is redacted in God's sight. Whew. Let's pray, please. Father, we take this too simply. And if we're not careful, we think somehow every single person is forgiven of everything. But actually, apart from Jesus, apart from this man, no one is forgiven. No one has hope. May you bless this morning for those in this room. I have no question there are people in this room that are not yet believers. This is the only hope they have. There's only one door, one key, one person, one path. There's none other names given among heaven, given among, under heaven, whereby we must be saved. It's all through Christ. And yes, our sins can be beautifully washed away. Thank you and bless this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Friend, we're going to sing. If you're here this morning and you're not sure your sins are forgiven, hey, Christian, it's time to do some business with God about His Son. Christian, if you're here, we're still back to being Americans. Nothing is a big deal. God just forgives. Well, I think I have experienced that God forgives, but sometimes He allows us to eat some dirt. Have you been eating a lot of dirt recently? By the way, it's time to for us to confess, so not so we have a relationship with God, but that we have fellowship with God on a day-to-day basis. This is for you, friend. Pastor Cork.
Number 411, please. We'll sing the Solid Rock, first verse, 411.